My name's Peter Elkin. Thank you, Anna, for that wonderful introduction. And as you'd said, I'm one of the co-chairs of the Population Health Technical Committee. We have all the others here, and I'll introduce them in a moment. Some of the slides are from HITSB, and some are from some of my fellow co-chairs who've contributed to the talk, so I'll acknowledge them in a minute. I just want to say I've been at the Mayo Clinic for a dozen years, and I'm keeping a lab there, but I'm actually transitioning to be the vice president of Mount Sinai and vice chair of the Department of Medicine and center director for informatics. So for those of you who know me and see the transition, there's my new email. Thought I'd take a second. So all of this is about the AHIC funnel. So what is this about? This is the Secretary Leavitt, and now it'll be a transition group into the American Health Information Community, is a group that sits in the government and actually accepts standards that get regulated in terms of government use of systems. So all of this is setting a precedent which gets mandated for the government. That's the answer. Now I'll start to tell you the questions. And in so doing, it makes it easier for everybody who creates vended systems, if they want to do it once, to be compliant with these standards. So there's a little bit of a carrot and a stick to help these go through. So what happens? So the people in the American Health Information Community, they have a work groups, and they get together use cases for problems in healthcare that they wish to solve, that they think health information technology can help with. So they get together and they create these use cases and they send them out and everybody comments on them. They get them back, and if there's a perfect world, they modify them. And then when they get finalized, and they're never perfect, they get sent down to the Health Information Technology Standards Panel. And the panel takes these and they delegate them to technical committees. And now we have two kinds of technical committees. We have prospective technical committees and domain technical committees. The domain ones are the ones that are cross-cutting, that go across all of the perspectives. And the prospective ones have foci, and one of them is population health. And that's what we're here to talk about, is some of the work products from the Population Health Technical Committee. Now, once these standards are made, they go back to the secretary, and the secretary and AHIC vote on this, and when they get finished, what they do is first accept them, and then once they accept them, they can actually call them recognized. And once they're recognized, that becomes mandatory for people who do contracting with the federal government to use those standards. So there's the little bit of the carrot. So initially it's approval and then recognition, which is the final thing. And the biosurveillance use case from our original work has already been recognized. The quality use case has been accepted and by the secretary. So it's in that just before phase. Look at that, I talked about those. And the three domain TCs, so the three prospective TCs are provider, population, consumer, and the domain TCs are care management and health records, security, privacy, and infrastructure, and administrative and financial. I swear I had a slide on you guys, so I think it must be coming up. Otherwise I'll stop in the middle. So here's what the use cases are for this year. And in population health, there are two: immunizations and response management, and public health case reporting. So the immunization and response management has to do with the ability to communicate a subset of relevant information about needs for medication and prophylaxis resources and resource availability about their administration, about the status of treated and immunized populations. And the case reporting use case has to do with leveraging electronic clinical information to address population health data requirements for reporting of individual cases. See, I told you I had this. So here we go. So I want to acknowledge my co-chairs of the Population Health Technical Committee, Floyd Eisenberg, who's right here. Now, Anna Orlova, recently elected. Let's give Anna a hand. Thank you very much. And Steve Steindel, who's lounging in the Finn shirt over there. So let's start from the beginning of what we've done and then get to this year real quick, okay? So at the beginning, we talked about the biosurveillance document-based data submission workflow. And this actually was worked out by Lori Reed-Friquette, who's the facilitator, who's also here and will speak next. And the idea is that there were these workflows that were crafted in order to get data from host organizations to the central CDC and other public health authorities. And then there was a message-based analog of this workflow that got created, and this ended up creating the basis for an interoperability specification, which is now not only recognized by the Secretary, but being tested in some of the prototypes. So then we had a second one, which was the quality interoperability specification. And this is a slide which shows the basic workflow for the quality use case and how the interoperability specification was crafted around that use case. Now, one of the things you should know about our work, as a disclaimer, right off the bat, before you have too many high expectations, is that we could not solve everything that was in any of these use cases, okay? These use cases were very broad, so we figured off what we could bite off. We took a look at it in detail, and we tried to do a very good job in describing that piece of the puzzle. So please don't think that we solved all that has to do with data requirements for any of these subjects. But we did make a dent, and we worked through it from end to end in a way that I think will have some utility. And already there are people who are making use of these, so we feel very gratified about that. So I'm not going to go through all these slides, but they are available, and they'll be on the web, and you can get them. But basically, the idea with the quality use case is that you can actually do electronic, fully automated electronic quality monitoring for measures that are defined in a standardized way. Pretty cool. Yeah, at least I thought so. So here's a little shorter caricature of the same thing. And it all has to do with standards. It has to do with standards for nomenclature, it's standards for the logic that goes around the nomenclature, standards for the messages that we take, that we wrap around these, and standards for the backbone and the way that we're going to communicate these. And then standards that we'll hear about later for profiles in order to use these in real clinical settings. So now I got to remember how to use this one. Okay, so then that has to do, now we want to do health information exchange, and I'm supposed to be, oh, it all came up at once. I see, so I didn't have to do it. The way this system works is different than my laptop, sorry. So basically what happens here is that you can publish, and so you can have push and pull technologies, one where you push things out to people, another where you pull them through, people ask for something, they get it. And we want to have exchangeable media that's available to people in a way that the sender and the receiver understand the information in exactly the same context as each other. Oh, see, this one didn't. This one you have to click, right? Gotta find it. There's a way to drive this one. Oh, actually, I had to do it this way. Okay, so this is a caricature of how to do an interoperability demo, and it actually probably will be gone into in greater detail by Lori Reed-Friquette. But the idea is that in order to share systems, you have to have these views of the individual systems, and then you have to have a shared view of how you're going to store, transmit, verify, and how that's going to help the clinical processes. I'm just going to get some of these up. So, and these are, this is the one of the IHE protocols for taking what we did in the quality domain and moving it out into the NIHN network along a secured message framework. And here represents the use of some of the standards that we'll hear about in greater detail that actually feed these applications in real world. And there's lots of clicks. Okay, so this year, now that I got through, this was last year and the year before, this year we had two things to take care of, and one of them was the immunization and response management use case that came from AHEC. And there were two scenarios in this. One was a vaccine and drug administration reporting scenario, and the second was vaccine and drug inventory reporting, or a supply chain management. And what we deferred was engaging subject matter experts to define the workflow beyond the Vaccine for Children's programs. And this was pushed off to next year in case we can get to it. And some of the new constructs that were created include to identify communication recipients, to create a vaccination message, to create an unstructured document, communicate generic information to patients, and then to have a generic alert to identify providers, so communicate non-patient specific information, and then a component for consumer vaccination view for patients. And then there was a transaction package, which was an immunization query and response, and then a vaccination component. What we deferred was the clinical decision support content, or the immunization schedules, reminders, vaccination document component, the medication administration, and the terminology services underpinning this. Some of the what we tried to do, instead of reinventing the wheel, some of the same kinds of pieces of information were used this year that we'd used in prior years. So we had these constructs, and we wanted to be able to reuse the constructs so that we had commonality in the way that we named things from each of the different use cases that we approached. And partly this was really important to nail down because people have different interests, right? So the participants that came for biosurveillance and the participants that came to the technical committee for quality were not exactly the same as the people who came for immunizations. And so there wasn't always this commonality of thought. And so it was we went back and we defined these different transaction packages, and I won't read them for you, but they're listed here. You can see the different messages that we'd created in the past with their definitions, which included not only the structure, but the content and the standardized terminologies that we suggested should be used for each of these types of information. And then we created a model of workflow for how this information, immunization response management should happen. And this was the basic package, so that came up. And here are the different packages that were used and created for this particular, to satisfy this particular use case toward the interoperability specification. So for the public health case reporting use case, we found that the content standardization was still a work in progress, that we didn't have all of the standards in place necessary to really define crisply how to take a case and report it in a consistent fashion. Ongoing content source, of course, came from CSTE. I'm sure there are people from CSTE in the audience. And that's still in good discussion. So I don't think that that's been nailed down yet. And for advance, we also had a section in this on adverse event reporting. And this was also very difficult to do, that there was a lot in the standards world that was yet to be done in order for us to nail this down tightly. Some of the ongoing issues included how we define an adverse drug event from the FDA, some of the patient safety concerns and how they're defined. And I know there's an upcoming meeting at ARC to look at how these definitions should be made. The CDC's healthcare-associated infection definitions and reporting still needs to be crisply defined, and the patient safety organization's instantiation of their ideas within this framework is something that has to mesh with all of these other interests, both federal and in the private sector. So we actually deferred being able to make this use case into an interoperability specification for this year. And so we were able to do some of the work. This is a trial implementation testing and publication of a roadmap. And so we can try to get, there was no determination regarding the content within this report form. The content we thought could be mapped to certain HL7 specifications, including CDA, and a couple of the transfer messaging specs that we had created. And one construct for trial content component consideration was the healthcare-associated infections report, which we thought might be able to be approached in one way or another. In 2009, we hope that the content standardization will be in further development, and that the report criteria content, both common and basic, will be also something that can be worked on at that time. I personally think we need to have an effort in how we do alerting and reporting, what the reporting criteria should be for alerts and the transport media for alerts, and then support communication of non-public health alerts and notifications that may become understood through the reporting of these cases. And then in 2010, there are a number of other issues that were defined as things that should be approached, including FDA MedWatch, the vaccine the VAERS, or the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, and then there's obviously work in version 3 within HL7 we heard about, which needs to be considered for adoption. Currently, most of the standards that have been used have been version 2, usually 2.5 or 2.6 standards from HL7. The ARC Sentinel event and adverse event reporting, the public health case reporting at that time, the reporting of criteria content or case-specific reporting, and the communications from public health back to providers, and also the clinical decision support or triggers that would come from these things also need further work. And those are things that are ongoing. If you have an interest in this, we want you to get involved. We expect you to get involved. That's the only way you can really affect these in a very substantive way. We want you to join the Population Health Technical Committee, participate in the meetings and the conference calls. It won't drag your entire life down, only most of it. But it's incredibly rewarding. You know, I used to be 6'5", but now I'm, no, it's, review the draft. If you can't do that, and it's a lot of work, you know, we'd like you to at least review the draft interoperability specifications and comment back where they're not good, where they don't meet your needs. We really need to know as a group that we've had sufficient input to feel comfortable moving these things forward through the government. And then move our nation toward interoperable data for safer and more effective practice of medicine and practice of public health. And with that, I thank you very much for your kind attention.